This is a segment from The Annex, an academic sociology-themed podcast. For more, visit us on the web at theannexpodcast.com.
So before I introduce this next segment, I just want to say that I was away for 3 days in the Berkshires visiting my daughter. I did not read a newspaper. I did not go on my computer once. I did not try to read or listen to news. I was gone for 3 days and I came back and I felt like I stepped into the middle of a race war.
Yeah.
And that's basically what it felt like. It was like, okay, right? We got the shootings in Kentucky. We've got this massacre at the synagogue in Pittsburgh. And we've got no one actually really like accepting any responsibility for helping us get to this place. And when I say no one, I mean, you know, the people at the top, right, of our political establishment. And
St. Trump.
Well, I don't say his name regularly.
Like Voldemort type of thing?
He who shall not be named, right? And it is extremely disturbing. I was incredibly disturbed. And I can't even believe that he decided to insert himself in Pittsburgh today by going in to quote unquote bring people together or offer condolences or help people heal. That is, to me, the most disgusting, the most disgusting and, you know, and blatantly political, selfish political move I think I've ever seen.
Okay. So I am not a fan of the man in any way at all, but I feel like that's grossly unfair. So first of all, this idea that he caused this,
I don't think he caused it. Well, correlation is not the same as causality.
So. Well, I don't think there's even a correlation. So it's definitely the case that he is both a product of and a cause of, you know, polarization and anger and cheapening of the discourse, right? He routinely says things that would have been, unending scandal for any other president, right? There's no president in living memory who would, you know, Nixon said that kind of stuff in private constantly, as did LBJ. But in public, no, you know, president in memory would, you know, talk about like, oh, you know, I guess that makes her into, you know, the bestiality, horse face, you know, all that kind of stuff.
So trading in blatant sort of hateful, overt hateful discourse.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, bleeding out your you know what. You know, I mean, all that sort of business is something that no recent president would have said in public, although several of them would have said in private. So in that, but, you know, I don't think there's even the correlation there, right? Because this is not the first time that a Jewish target has been shot up. My little brother's daycare was shot up in 1999.
Whoa.
And, you know, and there was another terrorist attack a few months before that in Chicago, you know, there's been a series of these things. And I don't think that you have, now you could say like, oh, well, those are isolated incidents. And what about the trend? And there's this famous ADL figure that's going around. The ADL figure includes...
ADL is anti-defamation.
Yeah, that's right. The ADL figure includes 123 bomb threats last year that were hoaxes by an Israeli teenager. So, you know, whether... Now, those obviously disturb people, but, you know, they're not meaning... I mean, and they created anti-Semitic terror, but it's weird to count a hoax as if it is part... You know, hoaxes are really the responsibility of the people who do them, not the people who they're mocking or imitating or whatever you're trying to, however you put it. So, you know, whether there's been a trend is highly debatable. And this kind of thing is not unprecedented. I mean, the only real difference between of this case and the cases that were, you know, over the last 20 years is this guy killed people instead of just injuring them. But you know, there were quite a few people shot in Chicago and quite a few people shot in Los Angeles in 1999. In both cases, The people who were shot at the Jewish location were wounded, and then subsequently the terrorist murdered an Asian American.
Yeah.
So here's
the thing, Gabriel, right? I mean, yes. I mean, terror happens like all the time, it seems like, right? And sometimes things have a cause, sometimes they don't. Sometimes you just have someone who has mental health issues, who also for some unknown reason has unlimited access to firearms, right? And that happens, right? But you know what? This like reminds me of, you know, the gubernatorial debate, right, in Florida, right, where, you know, Gillum and DeSantis are debating, and I'm totally going to mangle Gillum's words, but, you know, to paraphrase, he basically says, I'm not saying DeSantis is a racist, I'm saying racists think DeSantis is a racist. And I actually think that a lot of the things that our president says are taken as sort of like a pass for people to engage in blatantly racist, anti-Semitic behavior, right? And so I kind of feel like for you to say that they're not even correlated, I can't agree with that.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm just talking about the time trends, right? And I think that this idea that there was this huge jump in 2016, it relies on what I consider a coding error in the form of counting as anti-Semitic incidents, these bomb threats that were basically a hoax from an Israeli teenager.
Mm-hmm. I remember that, yeah.
Now, and then in the case of this specific guy, he was actually somebody who, you know, would have called Donald Trump a cuck, right? This is somebody who was on the far right and was disillusioned with Trump when he came to believe that Trump wasn't as far to the right as he wanted him to be. So, you know, I mean, how do you count that? I don't want to say that that's crazy, because I think it actually cheapens terrorism to ascribe it to mental illness. Something like the Gabby Giffords shooter, that guy actually was a paranoid schizophrenic. Uh-huh. But this or Hamas bombing or something like that, those are, generally speaking, evil but sane and somewhat rational political action. And I think I would characterize this in the same way.
So it was big news in my community, and it's a sad event. Jews are reacting to it really, really strongly. And it's sad mostly to see kids being afraid of it. But you know what? It was sad when they shot up the black church in South Carolina.
Yeah,
it was sad when they shot up the Sikh temple in Minnesota. They shot Christians. Remember that Oregon college shooting where the guy decided he would shoot Christians?
Well, I mean, the black church people were Christians too, so. Just saying.
No, you know what I mean. It was targeted. The criterion being used for who got shot was he would ask the victims, are they Christian or not?
Oh, God.
If they answered
okay.
Christian, then he'd shoot them. And, you know, for me, I really don't want this to be inserted into politics in any way, just because I don't want anti-Semitism to be a partisan issue.
Well,
that's
so
my big.
That's actually the thing that. So, for the most part, I thought people's reaction to this was pretty good, including the president. You know, kind of fulfilling his ceremonial role of being, you know, attempting to mourn on behalf of the nation. That doesn't bother me just because I don't like him. The aspect of, there were a couple things that bothered me about the response to this, although for the most part, you know, everyone had the appropriate reaction of this is horrible. But one thing I didn't like was this like petition from people saying that the president shouldn't visit because they disagree with his politics. And I see that as turning an attempt to turn anti-Semitism into a partisan issue, which I see as incredibly dangerous. I think that when somebody says this was a terrible thing that happened to y'all, you should accept their sympathy.
I mean,
it doesn't matter if you don't like them in other respects.
Yeah, so here's the thing, right? I mean, of course, I mean, there are people who are going to turn this into a political thing. But I actually think there were people who were mourning who just very, very, I mean, like politics aside, just felt as though this man's rhetoric was part of the problem. And because they thought he was part of the problem, they didn't want him to be in this space.
That wasn't
right?
The position of the rabbi himself. The rabbi himself basically said, he's the elected president. If he wants to come mourn with us, then, you know, that's his part of his office.
Yeah, that's the rabbi, right? Sure. You know what I mean? But that doesn't, he doesn't speak for the entire community, right? And so what I'm saying is I understand why some people didn't want him there, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I was listening to the head of the Jewish Defense League, and he basically was saying, look, you know, as our leader, you need to actually come out and actually say that you disavow all hate groups like this, right? And until you actually come out in this strong way, like we can't actually really believe that you support us, right? So I get that.
Yeah, I think if there was an incident where, let's say that in 5 years, some far left terrorist blows up an evangelical church and President Kamala Harris wants to go visit and pay respects on behalf of the nation. And then, you know, people in this red state town basically say, we don't want her here because she's pro-choice or something like that. I think that would be despicable. You know,
no, that's not the same as having a president who, number one, tried to claim moral equivalence between sort of the neo-Nazis in Charlotte and the protesters. That's a totally different scenario than saying, oh, you're pro-choice, so you can't be here. It's not as though Kamala Harris has said evangelicals are evil, right?
Well, also in defense of Leslie's side, I mean, to some level, they are trading in ethnic animus. That is part of the election strategy, right? Is spurring this stuff, like the caravan, and the Muslim invasion, and all of these types of things. These do trade in stoking fears of of others, othering minorities, and stoking fear about them. Like it is part of the strategy.
Yeah.
In all fairness.
And it's got nothing to do with tax cuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, then just real quickly, the other thing that I didn't like in the response was, this business with having a Jew for Jesus as some type of thing. And a lot of people were upset with that. I think people went way too far in their denunciation of that. To me, that's just like tone deafness. Rather than like some type of like elaborate conspiracy that you saw some people talking about. But it's still was a little creepy.
As a half Jew, and yeah. I guess Gabriel, you can appreciate this. Yeah. Like Jews way overestimate how much non-Jews know about them, and they just don't know. You got to give them a pass. But
hey, I will say that the Jews for Jesus would come around along with the Mormons in my like hyper segregated lower income neighborhood back in the 80s and 90s. So
yeah, it's definitely out there. They're definitely out there.
For more, visit us on the web, theannexpodcast.com.